This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on strengthening Indian defense capabilities with indigenously developed weapon system. The participants are Lieutenant General Sanjay Kulkarni, defense expert, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
Welcome to Akashvani, General Kulkarni.
Thank you very much.
DRDO's successful flight test of the indigenous technology cruise missile, ITCM, from the integrated test range Chandipur off the coast of Odisha on April 18, and successful deployment of indigenous long-range subsonic cruise missile powered by indigenous propulsion is a major milestone for Indian defense R&D. Would you elaborate on that, General Kulkarni?
100%. I think it's nothing better. And Nirbhay is a long-range, all-weather, subsonic cruise missile, as you just said, designed, developed by DRDO. And that is where the whole game-changer arrives. The engine is ours. And you know, the ability to do nape of the earth, the ability to do subsonic missile, which is so much digitally developed, there can be nothing better than that. And I think it's one of the finest a game changer and something we can be really proud of. And the entire guidance system, I would say, the propellant system, the engine, the perfect delivery, the explosive warhead, the speed, the accuracy, all of it we can be proud of. The ITCM is ours and we have indigenously developed it and we have arrived. And maybe another one-odd test missile, and thereafter maybe another 3-4 years, the commercial production can also start.
So what is the range? We have this as a long-range subsonic cruise missile. In terms of the length covered by us, could you just elaborate on that for the listeners who are not so well-versed with the term long-range subsonic?
You know, all these ballistic missiles generally, they have various categories. You know, when we say cruise, there are two kinds, the cruise missiles and the ballistic missiles. The cruise missiles are jet-propelled, subsonics below the speed of the sound, and then we have the ballistic missiles. We also have in that various, we could be calling them the short-range, the medium range, the intermediate range, the long range, the intercontinental ballistic missiles. Each of them varying starting from, say, 1,000 kilometers to 1,000 to 3,000, IRBMs about 5,000, the long range ballistic missiles about 5,500, and of course the intercontinental ballistic missiles going even up to about 10,000. But this one is about 1,000 kilometer range, and that is the best part of it, is just a second, how we phase the journey, making it a now developing our own rocket pod, but then it all started off as was a small thing, the Integrated Missile Development Program, which started off in 1983 under the famous Dr. Abdul Kalam, who we have seen going on a bicycle, taking those little parts and how it started off. Over the years, we scrapped off the Integrated Guided Missile Development Program in about 2008, but the basic formation for it was that we wanted the missiles for air defense, we wanted missiles for anti-tank, we wanted missiles going surface to surface. So we had named them Trishul, Nag, Akash, Prithvi, Agni, you know, all these. And these were all these missiles which over the years have given kind of a pride to India that we have developed, and now this Nirbhay, fearless. And based on that, what you just said, the indigenously made technology, absolutely indigenous technology, and that's where this cruise missile has developed with a subsonic range of about 1,000 kilometers.
Okay, General Kulkarni, it's also demonstrated very low altitude sea skimming flight. What does that mean?
These are the speciality and the characteristics of this missile is the nape of the earth. That means just about, say, 100 meters above, avoiding the radars. And because it, unlike a ballistic missile, which goes up in the air, which could be rocket propelled, and then it goes up and then it comes down. Unlike the cruise missile, which is jet propelled, at the subsonic speed, can fly nape of the earth. Nape of the earth is just about 100 odd meters above the earth and carry on flying, avoiding all the radars. So that you don't know, and that still be able to take on a target. And this capability of being able to fly, avoiding the radar, called the nape of the earth stick, is something which this particular missile of ours has been able to achieve.
So how much is the contribution of the indigenous propulsion system which has been developed by the Gas Turbine Research Establishment, Bengaluru?
70%. 70%. And that too at the very outset. Earlier it used to have a Russian engine, and now it's an indigenously manufactured engine with 70% of its own indigenous tip. And I think that's where the real thing comes. slowly and steadily, I'm quite hopeful we will attain 100%, but at least to begin with, that too by the DRDO itself, and replacing the Russian engine with the Indian engine, with so much of indigenization, I think it's real achievement by itself.
General Kulkarni, there has been a lot of contribution from other laboratories and Indian industries, and we would like you to talk about this collaboration that has taken place, particularly so that this can have better and reliable performance.
What happens is all the Zyles and strategic systems, they have various things in it. And all of them, there are about 5-odd labs which will be responsible for it. Some of them for aerodynamics, some of them for the airframe design system, some of them for the solid liquid ramjet, you know, they call it tramjet propulsion systems are concerned. Navigation is concerned, guidance is concerned, housing is concerned, then onboard power with the warhead. So all of these are all subsystems which are manufactured by almost about 5-odd laboratories across the country, each one of them working together with a purpose of being able to then assemble and then be able to fire this fire on the Odisha coastal belt to be able to achieve the target. And not only this, we also had a Su aircraft monitoring the entire thing. So many monitors to see whether the first test trial, how is it gone. We had an aircraft to monitor whether the missile is taking on the correct flight path, how is it hitting, what is the guidance, how is the propulsion, all of it. I think it was real excellent, a huge success for all of us.
Okay, could you also, for a layman, provide an overview of the importance of indigenous weapon development for India's defense capabilities?
Over a period of time, we are also among the top 5 or 6 countries in the world wherein the percentage of our GDP going as high as $70 billion that we spend on defense. And we also used to be once upon a time a very huge net importer of and one of the 6 largest importers at one point of time. We were almost the largest importer of the defense equipment. All of it now is history. Slowly and steadily, we've been able to develop our own. Aim is to have our own defense corridors, first and foremost. Then, having made our own defense corridors, ensure that everything, whether we slowly and steadily with a view to have our own technical manpower, with the FDI ability to go up to 74%, with government clearance 100%, then once you have all this, then you find that all of these generate employment, they generate repair, maintenance, upgradation, small startups, MSMEs, for all of them come up, your strategic capabilities goes up, your ability to outsource within India goes up, resulting in some of the world-class projects that came up, INS Vikrant, the aircraft carrier, Tejas, the aircraft, we had the Project 75 for the submarine. Then we had the Ariane, which is a nuclear submarine, the Dhanush, the gun, which we call it the Desi Bhopals, with almost 80% indigenization, the various missiles, the Agni, the Brahmos. Then we had the Pinaka multi-barrel rocket launcher, the Arjun tanks, BMPs. So all of these, slowly and steadily, we started manufacturing them in India. And that raised our own confidence, that also boosted the morale of the skilled manpower that is available. It saved on the crucial foreign exchange. It allowed us to invest in procuring and buying and investing for our own defense needs over a lakh of crores investment in manufacturing our own defense staff, going exports to over 20,000 crores, which was not even 3,000 crores a few years back, taking to this great height. All this is possible because we devised what we wanted, self-reliance, Atmanirbharta, and be able to ensure all of this came, I think, as a blessing in disguise. We've seen now what's happened between Russia and Ukraine. We've seen what's happening between Iran and Israel and Hamas. So all this leads to turmoil in the world. Nobody will be able to help us. So best is to be on your self-sustained, Atmanirbhar, and we know how our enemies are both. We shouldn't hesitate in seeing what the Chinese are doing and what the Pakistanis are doing. So we have to be prepared 24/7, 365, on our own to be able to defend the territorial integrity and the sovereignty of our nation.
Yes, this is a moment of great pride for us as Indians. Also yesterday, DRDO's Aeronautical Development Agency has handed over the first batch of the indigenous leading-edge actuators and air brake control module to Hindustan Aeronautics Limited, marking a significant leap towards self-reliance in aeronautical technologies. And also Major Kulkarni, HAL Lucknow has already made preparations for the production of these units for the current 83 LCA Tejas Mk1A order. We would like you to throw light on this major achievement.
You know, Tejas is our own creation. And when all of it is indigenized, then obviously Mark 1 becomes 83 top orders. You can say 4.5 generations slowly graduating to the 5th generation aircraft, being able to compete with Rafale. I think that's where HAL now, which otherwise had gone into a little bit of a slump a few years back, has suddenly rejuvenated. Rejuvenated manufacturing Tejas, rejuvenated manufacturing helicopters, rejuvenated manufacturing and giving an excellent backup upgradation of the aircraft that is slowly and suddenly taking up, able to install with our own missile systems to the Tejas aircraft. So you find that there is a sea change, be it the engines, be it the airframe, be it speed, be it generation, be it navigation, be its own propulsion. So all of it, we have reached a level where we are able to compete with the best, and slowly and steadily we will find we will soon start exporting this. As much as the BrahMos missiles are being exported to the Philippines, we will find that Tejas will also be exported to countries like, say, Malaysia and some other countries which have shown tremendous amount of interest in our fighter aircraft. So that's where HAL has now suddenly, lifted itself from where maybe a few years back, maybe about a decade back, it was slowly not finding a grip, has suddenly come in its own and being able to manufacture now the 5th generation aircraft. I think it's a super, super achievement for all of us to be proud of.
So this, the secondary flight control of LCA Tejas that you mentioned about the hydraulic servo actuators and control modules, in layman terms again, how will the Tejas aircraft be enhanced with the fitment of these?
What happens is, once you have an Indian state-owned aerospace, and that's what the HAL is all about, and all these fighter aircraft, especially the light combat aircraft, which are critical to the Indian Air Force, there's so much, 42 fighter squadrons, each one of them have to be equipped. And if about 31 of the fighter squadrons can be equipped with own Tejas, I think it's a huge saving, number one. It's a huge saving. It's the ability to be able to, manufacture within, whether its own maintenance is concerned, whether its acquisition is concerned, all of it is concerned, to be done within the country. I think that is where we score over.
So what you're saying is that these innovations will play a major role in improving the performance, reliability, and efficiency of these systems, of course, keeping in mind Made in India aspect of it as well. So, Major Kulkarni, would you also discuss the collaboration between the DRDO and other government agencies and private sector companies in indigenous weapon development?
See, the DRDO for a long time virtually were confined to their own. Now they have opened up. Every research, every of the laboratories being allowed to be used by anyone who seems interested in. They themselves innovate and are not charging anything for their own innovation. They're welcoming people to come, invest their mind, use the laboratories for the good of our country. So that itself is an openness. The ability of the DRDO to be able to interact with foreign research and development and their research sharing with our own startups and our own MSMEs, all of this greatly helps. And now you find that DRDO, in conjunction with the PSUs, their research and development, the private industry, their research and development, the ability to test trial systems on a fast track, all that is possible because the DRDO is now available. People can access DRDO. There's nothing so uniquely different about it and the secrecy of it, that nobody can go there. It's like a holy cow. No, nothing like it. They themselves are opening up and venturing out.
On that well-explained note, we come to the end of this discussion. Lieutenant General Sanjay Kulkarni, thank you so very much for being with Akashvani.
Thank you, Rajayji.
You were listening to a discussion on strengthening Indian defense capabilities with indigenously developed weapon system. The participants were Lieutenant General Sanjay Kulkarni, defense expert, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on a mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on a YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.